Listening Library presents Compound Fracture by Andrew Joseph White. Read for you by Danny Martinek. Letter from the author. Hopefully, by the time this book goes to print, I'll have scrapped this letter and written a new one. I mean it. I'm desperate to write a different intro to this thing. If I do write a new one, I'll write about how much I love West Virginia. I'll write about family reunions in the mountains and steep switchback roads and venison in the freezer and my half-remembered Appalachian drawl and. Instead, I have to write about how tough it is to be trans in America right now. By the time Compound Fracture is released, I'll be 26 years old, and I'll have seen bathroom bills, state-sponsored attempts to remove trans kids from supportive parents, crackdowns on gender-related care, and so much more. And if you're disabled on top of it, Christ. I guess what I'm saying is, I'm sorry it's so difficult. We shouldn't have to fight so hard to exist. We deserve better. But of course, this is a book about fighting as hard as you can. So please note that we're going to deal with some difficult topics. Graphic violence, including police violence, transphobia, opioid use and withdrawal, and disturbing images. This is a book about an autistic queer trans kid who loves his family and all the people who love him back, as well as all the people who want him dead. Actually, this book is kind of like moonshine. It's gonna burn like hell going down. And, well, looks like this author's note is still here. If I promise you that this book has a happy ending, does that make it better? Does that make any of it easier to swallow? Yours, Andrew. For my family, this one is about you. AJW. Twist Creek Calamity, part of the West Virginia Coal Wars. This article is about the 1917 strike. For the preceding mining accident, see North Mountain Coal Company disaster of 1917. Date, May 27 to June 4, 1917. Location, Twist Creek County, West Virginia. Resulted in law enforcement victory. 40 to 50 killed, 200 arrested. Execution of strike leader Saint Abernethy. The Twist Creek Calamity, or the McLaughlin-Pearson labor riot of 1917, was a confrontation between striking coal miners and mine operators, the Baldwin-Felts Detective Agency, and law enforcement. Though the strike unofficially began on May 24th after the North Mountain Coal Company disaster of 1917, the kidnapping of Joseph Davenport by striker Saint Abernethy marked the official start of the incident. It is also one of the only confrontations of the coal wars to occur in the northern coal fields of West Virginia, as opposed to farther south. While one of the deadliest labor conflicts in American history, it is often overlooked due to a lack of reporting or firsthand accounts. This article is a stub. Chapter 1. When the sheriff of Twist Creek County and all those other sons of bitches, the Baldwin-Felts agents and bloodthirsty strikebreakers, finally caught my great-great-grandfather and dragged his ass up from the mine to make a spectacle of his execution, they killed him by hammering a railroad spike through his mouth. That's what they did to labor strikers 100 years ago. Machine guns, spare World War I munitions, railroad spikes. And I don't know if you've gone and picked up a railroad spike before, but they're big. Big enough that my great-great-grandfather must have choked on it. He must have gagged, waiting for the hammer to come down. One time I opened Dad's toolbox and put a big rusty nail between my teeth and held it there, breathing around the metal, trying to imagine how it'd be to go and die like that. Our family name is misspelled in the article, by the way. It's Abernathy, not Abernethy. Chapter 2. Last week, I stole a fistful of old photos, made exactly 3 sets of copies at the school library, and put the originals safely back in Dad's lockbox. The originals are blurry, and the scanner made it worse. But it's enough. Twisted metal and out-of-focus fire. Mrs. O'Brien's charred corpse almost visible if you squint. I have one of the sets now. All the photos on the same piece of cheap printer paper, folded twice and jammed in my pocket. But before I sneak out to the graduation party and make a mess of things, I check on my parents. My dog, Lady, trails behind me as I slip out of my room. Shh, I whisper, crinkling her ears. She huffs. Don't fuck me on this. Mom's in bed for once. She sleeps all curled up, knee to her chest and wrists tucked under her chin. I get that from her. She has the fan going too, full blast even though summer rarely gets warm enough to justify it, with the corner of Grandma's quilt clutched tight in her hands. She deserves the rest. Nursing home's been running her ragged. I leave her be. Dad, though, is passed out at his computer. The light of the screensaver makes the living room look strange. It washes out the camo print blanket and reflects in the glass eyes of the deer head over the TV. I step carefully, avoiding the spots of the old floor that creak, and lean over my father to inspect the tangle of emails and printouts. Election results map. West Virginia Municipal Guide, the running for office version. A bunch of email drafts, all unfinished. Most to recipients I recognize, but some I don't. Tylenol. Discarded cane under the desk. Lockbox of photos from the accident that I definitely didn't find the key for last week. I should probably be excited he's gotten it in his head. Seems like he's gonna run for a county seat again if I'm reading all this right. But I just feel sick. After what happened last time, it's hard not to be scared. But that's why I'm helping, right? Quiet as I can, I gather the printouts in a folder and ease them into a drawer. Close the emails and PDFs. Wipe the browser history, scrub the downloads folder, clear the recent items section of the file explorer. Lady sniffs the couch and watches me sideways, asking why the hell I'm sneaking around. Dad snores a little. In the blue light from the screen, the scars on his leg are paper white. And then I stop. Maybe I could... I pull out my phone and reopen my own email draft, a finger hovering above send. I don't have to send this. Full honesty, I probably shouldn't. Mom and Dad have enough to deal with right now, because being poor means there's always something to deal with. Endless medical bills, squirreling away cash to keep the heat on this winter, fronting house repairs because our landlord can't be bothered, and I've been putting this off for so long that really, what's a few more weeks? Months? But whatever. I'm already doing stupid shit tonight. I hit send. An email notification flashes on the desktop. Subject line. Mom, Dad, I'm trans. Body text. I'd say there's something I have to tell you, but the subject line is kind of a spoiler, etc., etc. Dad should thank me. If I forgot to hide something, this should cause enough of a ruckus that Mom won't notice. Still, before I leave, I double-check the desk and pour Dad a glass of water because he always wakes up thirsty. The photocopies are heavy as buckshot in my pocket. The email notification on the desktop makes me itch. Bite the bullet, Miles. Do it. Lady sits in the kitchen, head cocked but silent. She knows when not to bark. Good girl. Love you, I say over my shoulder to the quiet house. Twist Creek County High throws a graduation party every year, right on the riverbank at the bottom of the valley, a straight shot down the mountain from my house. It's a game, apparently, seeing what all you can sneak away for it. Red jugs of gasoline, coolers for the drinks, moonshine jars from the back of the freezer. Some parents have started staying up on the last day of school with flashlights, trying to bust it, but most roll their eyes and let it happen. Nothing else to be doing around here, and I figure they'd rather their kids do this than blow shit up with their dad's hunting rifle for fun. I've never been to one before. Even if Mom and Dad weren't so paranoid about letting me out of their sight, and rightfully so,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?